people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles, it says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to just go all the way to the back?
Sure. Line 18, Wilshire, Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's an, like, a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go downstairs another tier, and about 5 minutes, we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
An MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways. And so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line, there's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard. Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with freeways, with people, or his native LA. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know why everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
That's the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Seal Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. I-5, the I-10. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The 605, the 101, the 101, the 101, the I-10, the 210, the 605, the 101, the 405, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The red light.
Welcome to the 99th episode of Los Angeles Nista. I'm your creator, producer, and host, Edward Solis, and it is with great honor to facilitate
a North Hollywood Sun Valley edition with my in-studio guest from Despite Loyalty, Art Bertek Marquez. How are you, Art?
Fantastic. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. Very excited because I haven't done a real true Sun Valley episode, and I'm very intrigued by your knowledge just in general with life.
Thank you.
Especially that region when it comes to just the culture of, you know, being brought up in Angeleno. And I wanted to articulate to my crowd and live listenership that, you know, L.A. is responsible for many different sounds, smells, and sights. Growing up in the East Side, Sun Valley, it's like, where the hell is that, man? I mean, you know, what's the deal? But, you know, as you venture out as an adult, you find out about everything and how special every place is in L.A. That's why I do the show, because every place is special and so is everybody. When did you commit to playing guitar?
I committed to playing guitar at about the age of 12. I first started playing the violin in school. And so, but then my cousin got me into Metallica, my Mexican cousin from Tijuana.
Okay. I'm just going to interrupt you.
Please.
Talk about your ethnicity. You're half what?
Okay. I don't know the math exactly, but my Mexican mother from Tijuana is of Sicilian and Spanish descent. And my father, who's deceased now, was a Jewish American with Romanian and Russian descent.
Wow.
So you can do the math. I think I stopped at statistics.
I bring that up because I have Yugoslavian and Mexican in me. And LA is such a special place that people that don't know anything, that are just ignorant, they don't know that where everything is just mixed. The culture, you know, mariachis come from France. You know what I mean? It's not just Mexican or it's not just Asian or white. Everything is a hybrid.
Yes.
And I think it's really interesting that you're my first guest that represents North Hollywood and Sun Valley. And you have this background with a Jewish and Mexican upbringing. And you work in the movie industry. And you're a shredding metal guitarist and a prolific songwriter.
Thank you.
The reason why I'm talking about your guitar playing is because I haven't seen a lot of guitar players be able to match your capabilities. Not even in very established bands that try to be that technical. You're very good.
Thank you.
What are some of your inspirations for guitar? Bands or other guitars?
I mean, the first inspiration, was getting into Metallica because of my cousin.
The old Metallica?
Yeah.
The groundbreaking Metallica?
Yeah. I mean, when
not
I was
loaded.
No, but I did get into it later. You know, when you age, you start appreciating everything else, right? And I'm such a Metallica.
But you love them, right?
Yeah, I'll buy anything, even if they go to the toilet on a CD. they already got my soul, so I'm jaded with the. I'm brainwashed by Metallica. Right. That was my first inspiration.
First musical love.
That was my first musical love. Absolutely. Well, when I was a kid, it was Michael Jackson.
That's another great love as far as music goes. I mean, I keep listening to Thriller and Off the Wall, and I hear the live instrumentation, and I'm blown away.
Yes, yeah. That was, as a child, that was, Michael Jackson was the tape, cassette tape. Remember that? That's what I played over and over. Then I went to elementary school, learned violin, just so I could make my Jewish grandmother happy.
You played violin?
Yeah, that was my first instrument. At 9 or something like that. And then about 11 or 12, that's when, you know, wanted to be cool like my older cousins in Mexico. So I started listening to Metallica. And that's, you know, he just learned this one lick or something on a cheap little guitar.
But when you heard that on a cheap guitar from your cousin in Mexico match the ability of Kirk Hammett.
Yes.
You were just blown away.
When I heard that, I'm like, awesome. He's playing that. The lick to Unforgiven I'm like, I want to do that.
Right. I mean, that comes from a pure place.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, I understand what you're saying because I've experienced the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you, it's kind of Christian-like because it's very pure. It's very, for the first time, you know, like virgin ears.
I hear what you're saying.
You know
virgin,
what I mean?
Yes.
It's,
you're right.
So it just grasps you and it's like, whoa, this is Metallica. And I bought this CD at Tower Records for $20.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin in Mexico is playing it on a cheap acoustic.
Yes.
And you're like,
yes.
So anyone could really do music.
Yeah, it's like, it can be done. Wow. You know, I asked him, teach me that lick.
Did you ever take lessons?
Let's see. There was some sort of a course in middle school. It was only like one.
But you're all self-taught.
Mostly, yes. I mean, the thing that I got formally taught was because of elementary school and the music program, Camellia Avenue Elementary in North Hollywood had, was violin. But the guitar was pretty much self-taught and, you know, bugging people, hey, how do you play this lick? How do you play that lick? And then going home and playing for hours and, you know.
When I see you play, it's there's an ability that takes place that is very fast and precise and has definition.
Mm. Thank you.
Why did you choose to play that way versus another way? Is it an extension of your personality because you simply can? Or did you work hard to be that?
It's both. Definitely, I didn't pick up the guitar at 12 and could play what I'm playing now. I definitely
took a lot of work, right?
Put my practice and hours of practice and, you know, isolation and, you know, instead of going out into the sun, I was locked in a room playing guitar, you know, the classic, you know, crazy metal kid
right? In the valley. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to go to the beach and ride my bike all day and exercise. I'm going to sit there and like learn tabs.
Right. Learn tabs, learn Metallica, you know, play to that. And, you know, and then of course that catches up with you because then you start getting, you know, socially a little nuts. But anyway, so a lot of work, but definitely the aggression. I mean, what sold me, okay, I heard the Black Album. Then it was Master of Puppets, and that's what I blasted on my Walkman at 11, 12, over and over and over and over and over. And the aggression and the pounding. And then I learned to play Metallica on a crappy acoustic guitar. Really hard to play.
Yeah, well, yeah, bad action, bad
terrible,
fretboard.
Exactly, terrible
But you
action.
Learned how to do Metallica on a horrible guitar.
Yes.
So when you got a real electric guitar set
it was
up.
Butter.
It was like, are you kidding me? This is it?
I was like, this is a toy. I thought it was cheating. For many years, my guitar,
like, it messed with
teenage
you psychologically.
Ego, exactly.
I'm cheating.
I'm like, this is too easy. I'm supposed to struggle. Like, I'm so used to.
Because you're used to struggling.
And it was like, you know.
You know what you call that? A Mexican problem.
I'm just kidding. No, it's true. You know,
I had a bass with two strings. That was my Mexican problem.
Awesome.
And it was upside down.
And yes, lefty, because you're lefty. I love that.
So, tell me about when you write your music. Your music is very complex, prolific. Tell me where you draw your inspiration from. Is it through life experiences?
All the music that I think that you've heard, I've, you know, come from 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 9, you know, all the way to present. And yeah, each one. Each riff, each song, each you know, idea. Yeah, it comes from an experience. I mean, that I can remember where I was, what chapter, so to speak, in my life I was in, you know. And basically, some of them were planned, like, I want to make this kind of song, that kind of song. And those feel a little more constructed. But, of course, you know, the best stuff comes from going insane and, you know, it just comes out like, especially the fast, aggressive stuff. And then there's the sorrowful stuff, the mm-hmm. You know, melodic.
Well, I've studied your music. I've heard everything that you put out there. You probably don't know that.
I did. Thank you.
You have the capability to write any way that you want and mimic, but you also have your own sound. So you've defeated the best of both worlds. Musically, to me, that's you can't be taught that at MI. or Berklee School of Music. So I want to commend you for that.
Oh, thank you.
As a friend and as a ally and a fellow musician, I mean, what you do is phenomenal.
Wow.
You brought some new music tonight.
Yes, yes.
And this is from what project?
Despite Loyalty.
Okay, so we're going to listen to a track right now from Despite Loyalty.
Sure.
And go ahead and play that track right now.
Will do.
Welcome back to the 99th episode of Los Angeles Nista, Art Protect Marquez. Tell me the name of the project.
The project is Despite Loyalty.
And the track name?
The track name is Blind Reflections.
Where was that recorded?
That was recorded at Intelladon Studios, which is my living room apartment.
Now that my friend, is why you're here.
Oh.
Because you got the capability to do that.
Oh.
It's very, very well done. Tell me, okay, if I want Mexican food, if I got a friend from Chicago that flies in and he's staying in Sun Valley or North Hollywood, he goes, I need real Mexican food. Where does he go?
Well, first of all, I'll say avoid places where the people speak English. If they don't speak English, that's real Mexican food.
Right.
Okay, so Sun Valley definitely has.
Buche, tripas,
exactly,
lengua.
Exactly.
The tacos, right?
Yeah, that's right. All the body parts that people are afraid of, that's the place. Like, there's a place called Daniel's Tacos. It's in Sun Valley.
Never gets old, right?
No. They, you know, no English, and it tastes like the burritos and tacos I get in Tijuana. And, you know, they actually have real salsa and, you know, good stuff.
Made the good stuff.
The good stuff. Not tomato paste, you know.
real salsa,
you know. There's a place, actually, surprisingly, it's in Burbank. But as you know, Burbank is about a little
adjacent.
Adjacent to Sun Valley, a little bit east. And so there's this transition from Burbank, you know, clean streets and this and that. And then it starts getting a little railroady and industrial.
You see the railroad? Yeah, it's funny you see the railroady.
That's right, yeah. And growing up, that was going to band practice, was walking across the railroad on the other side of the tracks.
Wow.
You know. And so anyway, there's a place in Burbank, Mariscos, it's called. That place, I like eating lunch
like
there.
Like a Siete Mares?
Exactly.
Ostiones y camarón.
Exactly.
Ceviche, pescado.
Tortas. Yeah, exactly. You know the good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And huevos rancheros, if you want, you know.
Oh, man.
Breakfast and, you know, real Mexican dishes.
Right,
and,
right.
And no one speaks English there, and that's the best.
Okay, being Mexicano from North Hollywood and Sun Valley, what was your make of East L.A. and, like, when you were growing up? Like, you knew that's where it all went down, right?
Of course, yeah.
But when I first visited San Fernando, the city of San Fernando, Pacoima, Sun Valley, it was just like East L.A. in the valley. It's just like someone just got, I'm going to take East L.A. and put it here. Boom.
Right.
It's I don't know. I love it. You know?
It's home. I was raised in it. I'm used to the ranchero music, you know.
Because.
The tagging. You know?
Well, I mean, you could go to a friend's, like say, for example, I lived in Pico Rivera, and I said, you're going to come to my birthday party, and the barbecue was in the front yard. Mm-hmm. You would not feel uncomfortable.
Not at all.
With asada and cholos and cholas and, like,
exactly.
Whatever. I mean, Budweiser and food. Like, I mean,
right.
It's just like this culture where, like, you just get in where you fit in.
Yeah, it's just very familiar. It's, you know, growing up in going to a middle school where, you know, everyone was already, you know, tagging their little names and L.A. this and L.A. that. And,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's a subculture.
It is.
It's
some of these artists are gallery names now.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, it's very interesting. I think what is made in Los Angeles, coming from skateboarding, mm-hmm. You don't have a team. You're motivated from within to get on your board and go wherever you go,
mm-hmm.
And make friends with another skateboarder, and they take you to their terrain. It's like the Indians.
Right.
Doesn't that make sense?
It does. You're venturing out.
And they show you what they have, and you touch on it. You express yourself on their terrain.
Exactly. You're talking sociology here, man.
That's on a high level, right?
Yeah. That's.
People don't even experience this in their life.
Right. People who are stuck in
a bubble.
Yeah.
Not saying that being well off is a bubble.
Right. I mean, every subculture is different, but there's definitely differences that they don't get to experience, you know.
Through skateboarding,
mm-hmm.
I learned that if there's a thread, whether it's skateboarding or food or music, no matter what you are, how much money you have or what color you are, if you're involved in those things, you will react the same way.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that what you're explaining, how the valley was going down with people tagging, you know, like you chose, like I chose, music and skateboarding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I didn't get involved in that. To me, that's like even harder to do because you're peer pressured at that point.
Absolutely. Lots
of pressure. So it took more guts and it took more out of you mentally. In a way, it was just brought to my attention that there was a lot of traumatic events that happened in my life that I didn't even realize were traumatic up until now.
Right, because it's what you grew up in.
You thought it was, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Normal.
No, but it's not.
Right.
But as I get older, I let my emotional health move the current and I take it in. I go, wow, that was bad.
Right.
And it brings, you know, so it's very, you know, the sociology of Los Angeles is so heavy. I don't think it exists anywhere else.
I agree.
Yeah. And the fact that you could become the type of artist you can through these challenges, it takes more work, four times the amount, because you're not only dealing with the ability to become what you are, you're deflecting negativity, you're owning your identity, and you're committing to your art.
Yes.
You know, so with that being said, I want to thank you for being a part of the 99th episode.
Thank you. It's been an absolute honor.
Thank you very much.